ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मैरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ वर् अनलैसिङ्ग् द मीनिङ्ग् आफ् सेवन्त् मन्त्र शङ्कर एस्टाब्लिश्ड् refuted the karma jnana karma samuchaya vada and established jnanam is in itself an end. Jnanam need not be combined with karma, and jnanam even does not even create, produce or give moksha. Jnanam is itself moksha. That he made very clear later on. The very refutation started only based on this, following this mantra, the eighth mantra. Tasyai tapo damah karmeti pratishtha vedah sarvangani satyamayatanam. Okay. So this particular mantra, see, the whole Bhashyam covers two aspects. That is, two aspects means the two meanings or two interpretations given by Shankara for this eighth mantra form the whole Bhashyam here. So what is the first interpretation of this mantra? And what is the second interpretation of this mantra? We'll see both. The main teaching is, all these disciplines are meant for preparing the mind for knowledge. Isn't it? That's the main teaching. So here how the meanings are given, we'll see here. That is why the first line of the Bhashyam, we see Tasyai. See the mantra Tasyai, first word Tasyai. The Tasyai is in the fourth case, isn't it? Tasyai means fourth case. Why Tasyai is a relative pronoun? An adjective for what? Brahma Vidya, Upanishad. So the word Upanishad means what? Knowledge of Brahman, the Brahma Vidya. So Tasyai is equal to Tasyah Upanishadah Brahma Vidyayah. Isn't it? The fourth case should be understood in the sense of sixth case, possessive case. So, that word Tasyai in the mantra means for the attainment of knowledge of Brahma Vidya. Is it clear now that one word Tasyai means what? Tasyai means Tasyah. Tasyaha means kasyaha brahma vidyayaha. Okay, so prapti, so brahma vidyayaha, for the attainment of the knowledge of Brahman, for the attainment of brahma vidya, the Shankara says in his Bhashya commentary, tasyaha uktayaha upanishadaha ப்ராப்தி உபாய பூதானி. ப்ராப்தி மீன்ஸ் அட்டைன்மெண்ட், உபாய பூதானி மீன்ஸ் உபாய பூதம் மீன்ஸ் த எனிதிங் விச் சர்வ்ஸ் அஸ் மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் அட்டைன்மெண்ட். மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் அட்டைன்மெண்ட் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? சப்போர்ட்டிவ் மீன்ஸ். அண்ட் வாட் ஆர் சப்போர்ட்டிவ் மீன்ஸ்? சப்போர்ட்டிவ் காசஸ் ஹியர் தமஹா, சி தபஹா, தமஹா, கர்ம, யூனோ, வேதாஹா, சர்வ அங்காணி, ஆல் ஆஃப் தம், ஆல் தீஸ் ஆர் சப்போர்ட்டிவ் காசஸ் ஃபார் தி அட்டைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் பிரம்ம வித்யா. இஸ் இட் கிளியர்? See the first sentence of tasyai, tasyaha, uktayaha upanishadaha, prapti upaya bhutani tapa adini. So the first sentence means what? All these tapaha, karma, damaha, etc. are supportive causes, no, supportive aids for the attainment of knowledge of Brahman. And that, having said that, he explains each one. Now, what is tapaha? Look at this. Tapaha, damaha, karma. That is why. So, the word pratishtha. No, pratishtha means supportive cause. First meaning. As per the first interpretation, the word pratishtha means supportive cause. Supportive means supporting the aid is called pratishtha. Now first we have to see tapaha. So what does the word tapaha mean? Now the word literally, tapas is a sakaranta napumsakalinga shabdaha. Tapas means what? Now literally it means penance or austerity. But in any other context, if you ask what is tapas, what is penance or austerity, see, willfully, you know, allowing oneself to go through certain discomforts in order to make oneself a stronger, tougher personality is called penance, isn't it? So I willfully self-enforced, I myself decide to go through certain discomforts, physical discomforts, in order to make myself a stronger person, a tougher person, is called what? That is penance, austerity. Like what? What do we do? Suppose fasting. Fasting, now I feel so hungry, but I what now? I don't eat. No, I fast. It's a willful self-denial, no, of certain comforts. And then allowing oneself to go through some discomforts. Suppose I don't need to walk. I can go by car. But still I'd make up my mind to walk. Isn't it? Walk for long distance. People go walking to the temple. And then walking without, walking barefoot, without chapels. It's a pain, isn't it? Like that, so, willful self-denial of certain comforts. And not only that, allowing oneself to go through certain discomforts for converting oneself into a stronger, tougher person, no, become a stronger person is called tapaha, which means austerity or penance in the literal sense. Generally it means. But here, in Vedantic Upanishadic parlance, the word tapas should be taken as focus or commitment. You know, he says samadhanam. Samadhanam means focus or commitment. So focus or commitment means what? Shankara explains here. Kaya indriya manasam samadhanam. So having the body, all the 10 powers, all the 10 organs, organs of actions and organs of knowledge, all the 10 organs and the mind, keeping all of them in a fit condition, supportive of the pursuit of knowledge. is called samadhanam. See, having them all in integration, you know, having them all supportive of each other, that they contribute for the attainment of the pursuit of knowledge. It's called kaya indriya manasam samadhanam. The physical body must be in such a fit condition that you are able to pursue your knowledge. All the organs of actions and organs of knowledge are in fit condition that you are able to pursue your knowledge. The mind also is what? You know, mind also is calm, that you are able to focus, you know, concentrate and listen, understand, grasp and retain. That, no, then it is conducive, it is in a fit condition that you are able to pursue knowledge, isn't it? So, kaya, indriya, manasam, samadhanam means that all of them are together in fit condition that you are able to, that helps one pursue knowledge without any obstacle, isn't it? That's called samadhanam, which is called tapas in this context. Now, one more thing, Pujya Swamiji says very beautifully, suppose sometimes we are not able to even, you know, concentrate continuously for 60 minutes. Or if you have to listen to a talk or in the class, one full hour, you are not able to concentrate. Which means, we do not have, the span of attention is very, very small, that you are not able to focus for length of time. For some time you are able to listen, then after some time, slowly the attention gets distracted, and then attention goes all over, isn't it? So that being able to focus on the teaching for length of time itself means what now? Which means, that means you are studious, isn't it? One must be studious. So one must be able to focus, one must be studious, one must have that, it's not simply, one must be able to listen to the class, understand the teaching, retain the teaching, and also what? And assimilate the teaching. For that you need a condition of the mind. And having that mind is possible only if your body and all the 10 organs are supportive. So, enjoying all of them in a fit condition that one is able to pursue the knowledge without any obstacle. That's called what now? Samadhanam. That's what tapaha. In fact, that being able to sit, listen, understand, grasp and make notes and be able to review the notes and you're able to be prepared for the next day class, isn't it? Which means it is a systematic, you know, enjoying the body, mind, all of them in such a condition that you are able to go through the systematic study. The capacity to go through study, systematic study, that intellectual preparedness and also the studious, isn't it? Being studious, all these things together implied by the word samadhanam. This is what is tapas according to Vedanta. Is it clear? It is not a simple tapas, means here should not take in the wrong sense. Other tapas. So having shraddha in shravanam, isn't it? So systematic study, regular committed study, all is called samadhanam. Then, next is Damaha. Damaha here means Upashamaha. Upashamaha here means the sensory, no, the restrain. Then Karma. What is Karma? Agnihotradi. See, Karma means Agnihotram, he says. Agnihotram is the literal meaning, isn't it? Literal meaning of one karma, one particular ritual to be performed by every grihastha, every householder. Agnihotram is a upalakshanam. It stands for the karma yoga, in fact. Karma here implies living a life of karma yoga, which means performance of swadharma. So, varna ashrama dharma, doing one's own duties, performance of one's duties in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude, is called what? Is karma here. The term karma, so you can say karma yoga, or one can say also what? Panchamahayagnas. Living a life of panchamahayagnas, or living a life of karma yoga, or you can say swadharma anushtanam. Performance of one's own duties. That's called karma. Then, they become what now? They serve as, they form the, all these three, tapaha, damaha, karma, all of them become what? Iti, pratishtha. They are supportive causes. Not only that, vedaha. Because vedaha and sarva angani. So even to where can we understand the know-how of karma yoga, isn't it? See, to understand what is the purpose of living this life, what is the ultimate end of human life, and how to accomplish that end, you know, on what is the knowledge of reality, how to attain that knowledge of reality, what that reality is, and to attain the knowledge of reality, what is the qualification required, and to attain the qualification required for knowledge, how one should live the way of life, and how one should perform rituals. Now, all these things, the knowledge of karma and jnanam, isn't it? To have that, Veda serves as means of knowledge. Therefore, Vedaha, all the four Vedas he means, Vedaha. And to understand the Veda, you need the knowledge of other things also. That is, Angani, Vedangani, auxiliary sciences, the allied sciences, knowledge of which will enable one to understand Vedantic teaching. Angani. Sixfold auxiliary sciences. So all of them serve as what now? Pratishtha. Pratishtha means what now? The supportive causes for the attainment of knowledge. What is that knowledge has to arise? We say, Aham Brahma Asmi. Final knowledge that has to rise in one's mind is what? Aham Brahma Asmi. Isn't Aham Brahma Asmi? So for that knowledge, for the attainment of that Aham Brahma Asmi knowledge, for knowledge to rise, you need all the supportive causes. Therefore, karma, you can say tapaha, damaha, karma, iti, no, vedaha, anganicha, pratishtha, supportive causes. In fact, when we talk, Shankara talks about the tapaha, he also says one more thing. Even avoiding the distraction towards the study of other things which will be obstacle here, isn't it? Suppose which is not associated with this pursuit of knowledge. Even avoiding unnecessarily the study of other things which are not required for, which will serve as obstacle for this knowledge. Sometimes, different disciplines may distract your attention. That's also tapaha. They're being focused. People know, there's no reason, there's no focus. I do this course, I do that course, I go for here, I go there. There's no focus. Why do you want to do all these things? Anything which is not supportive of this knowledge, which is not required for this pursuit of knowledge, you can avoid. That's also what no saptapas. So here he says, sarvangani pratishtha. Then, satyam ayatanam. Satyam means truthfulness. And truthfulness is the ayatanam, abode. abode of Brahma Vidya, where Brahma Vidya, the self-knowledge, remains protected, sheltered. Brahma Vidya remains protected and sheltered where? In truthfulness, the abode of truthfulness. Which means truthfulness is very important for the self-knowledge. This is the meaning, little meaning of this verse now. Tasyai tapaha damaha karma iti pratishtha vedaha sarva angani then satyam ayatanam. Okay. Now we have to see the next line in the Bhashyam. So Shankara says, Tasyai tasyaha uktayaha upanishadaha. Uktayaha upanishadaha means what? The Brahma Vidya which has been taught very clearly in the first two chapters. Okay? For that, Prapti upaya bhutani tapa adini. For the attainment of Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman or self-knowledge, which has been earlier taught in the first two chapters, for which all these disciplines here, no, said in this mantra, serve as supportive causes. Supportive means. And we saw tapaha. What is tapaha? Kaya indriya manasam samadhanam. Then damaha means upashamaha, sensory restraint. Karma, I said, panchamaha, living a life of panchamaha yajnas or karma yoga lifestyle or sadharma anushtanam. Then, see next line now. Yetaihi, say?
Yetaihi.
He. Samskritasya.
Samskritasya.
Sattva Shuddhi Dwara.
Sattva Shuddhi Dwara.
Tattva Jnana.
Tattva Jnana.
Utpattihi.
Utpattihi.
Drishta.
Drishta.
So, Yetaihi means what? By all these disciplines. Tapaha, Damaha, Karma, by how living a life of karma yoga, all these disciplines, by following all these disciplines, therefore with etaihi alone, samskritasya, samskritaha means what? No, refined. The person has become refined, the man of refined personality. One becomes the asamskritaha, prakritaha becomes samskritaha. Unrefined, uncivilized, unprepared, unqualified person becomes civilized, refined, qualified person, eligible person for knowledge. How does one asamskritaha or prakritaha become samskritaha? Etehi, by following these disciplines, such as tapaha, damaha, karma, study of the shastram, etc. By all these disciplines, one becomes prepared, eligible. Thereby, when a person becomes refined mentally, then sattva shuddhi dwara, through the attainment of preparedness, mental purity. So only by living all this, following these disciplines, one attains sattva shuddhi, mental purity, one becomes samskritaha, refined personality, thereby sattva shuddhi dwara. But now, then jnana utpattihi, only then it is possible for one to have the rising of knowledge. Emergence of knowledge is possible. Tattva jnana utpattihi. Do you see that word? Tattva jnana utpattihi means what? Rising or the emergence of the knowledge of the truth, being possible has been seen by us. How? Only with these things. Only when a person becomes mentally pure and refined, qualified, then we see the possibility of the emergence of knowledge of the truth. What is the proof? Drishta means the proof is what? The entire teacher, Guru Parampara is the proof. The entire lineage of teachers, itself is the proof that what? That how they all had the they all had the knowledge of Brahman. Guru Parampara is the proof, which means the proof that all the teachers who came the lineage, they had the vision of the truth, which means there was emergence of knowledge of the truth. How? Because they became purified. They became mentally qualified. How did they become qualified? By all this, following all these disciplines. By studying, by doing Shravanam, Manam, Nididhyasanam, and not only that, by following the other disciplines also. Is it clear? Therefore, he says, for the emergence of knowledge, one has to become mentally pure, and for mental purity, one has to follow these disciplines. Therefore, there are supportive causes. Okay, here, we have to understand two things here in this context. I want to stop and tell you. See, we have, first thing, there is the two types of obstacles we have generally. Two types of obstacles are there. One is called Drishta Pratibandha. Drishta Pratibandha means known, seen obstacles. Adrishta Pratibandha means unknown obstacles, unseen obstacles. How to understand what is seen obstacle, what is unseen obstacle? These two types of obstacles are there. They prevent the knowledge from rising. Seen obstacle means the lack of commitment. You understand somehow moksha being the end. You understand knowledge being the only means. But still, somehow there's lack of commitment. And even if there's a commitment, there'll be some patibandha. It's difficult to find teachers sometimes. And sometimes what happens, even the teachers available, shastra is available, and then we are not able to understand. Why are we not able to grasp? We go to the class regularly, not able to receive first of all. One must be blessed with the capacity for reception, retention and assimilation. The problem is, that's the question of retention and assimilation. And we are still struggling with the very reception itself. Why? We go all the way spending 2 hours to the class. After going to the class, we are not able to concentrate. Distraction, isn't it? In 1 hour class, if you are able to concentrate listen to the teacher for half an hour, and next half an hour, slowly mind goes for so many other things. Now that you want to go, you want to be in the class only. But the mind doesn't ask your permission. It goes somewhere. And then you feel very helpless in managing your mind, bringing the mind and making the mind listen to the be in the class, which means the mind leaves you there. It goes somewhere, isn't it? Physically, it leaves you there and it goes somewhere. And you see your own helplessness in terms of not being able to manage your mind in terms of making it remain focused in the class. Or it goes to so many things. Today Radhaji's back seems to be better and he sits well, and then why Krishna Kumar is still wearing this jacket, and why Alyssa's home, she didn't work, he couldn't go to work. Lots of things can happen. And when did Nina, I never saw her wearing this green jacket, cardigan, when did she buy? See, things, mind goes 1 second if you let. No, it goes away from the class, isn't it? This distraction, the distraction due to the lack of, adequate capacity to concentrate, lack of concentration, or less span of attention, is it also what? No, it's a pratibandha. This is a drishta pratibandha. It's a known obstacle. Is it clear? In spite of the effort, I know my problem. Why thing dana doesn't take place? Because I'm not focused enough. I'm not committed enough. I'm not, you know, focusing enough otherwise. In the sense, I'm not able to grasp properly. Because I'm not able to remain, be in the class. I get distracted. We ourselves know. Drishta pratibandha. So what should we do for these drishta pratibandhas to go? That is why he is tapaha, damaha. Then all is what now? Mainly, this is karma yoga, panchamaha yajnaha means you live a life of worshipfulness. And you live a life governed by dharma. And you live your life doing all your duties. Now, all these things will help you become more focused. It will make your study effective. This also what now we say, you know, drishta pratibandha. Then next question is, what is adrishta pratibandha? This other type of people, group of people who are free from drishta pratibandha, which means they are able to be focused. They have very good concentration. They come to the class, they are very serious, very systematic, very regular, very committed. Come and sit in the class, they can listen to the teacher with focused attention for 1 hour. They can understand very well, grasp very well, retain very well. They can even reproduce very well, communicate very well. Everything is possible. But still, they'll say what? Everything is okay, but still, it is not, the knowledge, this is not, it doesn't seem to be effective. Still, there is no guts to say, Aham Brahma Asmi. I do listen, I do understand, the teaching is fantastic, the teacher is okay, but still, what do you say? I do understand Vedanta very clearly, I'm very, very clear in discussing Advaita concepts, but I'm not. No, I cannot boldly, with confidence, say, you know, don't need to say it out, but there is no such, I have not taken ownership of the self being Brahman. What must be that knowledge? Aham Brahma Asmi. And if at all anything else, there's only, it's all mithya. Other than myself, everything else is mithya. That, you know, that confidence is not there. I understand, but I have no confidence to say that, which means I still people do not take ownership of the vision, which means the understanding doesn't seem to be effective. The non-effectiveness of the teaching or the understanding, the first group of people find it difficult to have the understanding because of a lot of obstacles. These people have understanding, but still they have the problem with assimilation. In fact, doesn't seem to be effective. That is called adrishta pratibandha. That non-effectiveness of the knowledge or the clear understanding or the teaching was because of adrishta pratibandha, some unseen obstacle. Obstacle for which there is some reason, isn't it? I do not know. We do not know what, that's why it's unseen. Unknown, the obstacle for which the cause is somehow unknown. You got it? Unknown cause. There must be some cause. I'm going to the class regularly. I'm trying to understand everything. I put in all possible efforts. I do understand clearly also. But still, the clear understanding which I'm having doesn't seem to be effective for me. I cannot still boldly say, as Aham Brahma Asmi. I don't need to say that. The vision should reflect in my understanding should reflect in my day-to-day life, in my behavior, isn't it? That because there is some, you know, there is some sort of obstacle for which the, I do not know what is the cause. When you say, I do not know what the cause is for that, you call, for that obstacle, you call it adrishta pratibandha. So the obstacle for the in having the knowledge risen, when the cause is unknown, we call it adrishta pratibandha. Is it clear? Now how to, whether you have adrishta pratibandha or drishta pratibandha, then what should I do? So along with the study of the shastram, to neutralize the obstacle for which the cause is unseen, unknown, to ward off, to neutralize the adrishta pratibandha also, one should continue to live, what now, life of karma yoga. It means you should do both. Shastra Shravanam also you must be doing, and you also must be living a life of karma yoga, a life of panchamaha yajnas. You must be following all sorts of, all these disciplines. When you do both simultaneously, you know, then this life of karma yoga involving panchamaha yajnas or disciplines in due course of time will neutralize all sorts of pratibandhas. Drishta pratibandha, adrishta pratibandha, all of them will slowly be removed. When the pratibandhas go, what will happen? There will be confidence. When the confidence comes, there will be what now? You will claim, isn't it? There will be knowledge. You will take ownership of your, the vision becomes clearer, assimilated. Is it clear now? That's how knowledge takes place. So that's why he says, that's called Sattva Shuddhi here. Sattva Shuddhi means the mind being, for the, so by following these disciplines which have been said above, one becomes refined minded, thereby what? Through the purity of mind, one, then it is possible for one to have the knowledge of the Brahman, knowledge of the truth. So samskritasya sattva shuddhi dvara tattva-jnana utpattihi. Tattva-jnana utpattihi means what? Emergence or the rising of the knowledge of the truth is possible for the one who is mentally pure. One who has neutralized both two types of pratibandhas. Drishta, say now.
Drishta.
He. You see that? Following the next sentence. Amrudita. Kalmashasya. Ukte api. Brahmani. Apratipattihi. Viparita pratipattihi cha. Yatha Indra Virochana Prabhrutinam. So now what he says makes it very clear. If a person is not, you know, pure minded, the person is not refined minded, the person is not at become qualified for knowledge, and he said to be what? Amrudita kalmashaha. No, mrudita kalmashaha means, mrudita kalmashaha means the refined minded, isn't it? The purified minded. Amrudita Kalmashaha means the one who has not yet become mentally pure, the one who has not yet become, you know, qualified, the one who has yet to become qualified, one who has yet to become refined person, personality. So he says, Amrudita Kalmashasya, okay, the unrefined minded for him, Ukte api, even if the Brahma Vidya is taught, no, for the one who is unqualified for this knowledge, one who is not yet mentally adequately prepared, he is called Amrudita Kalmashaha. For him, Ukte api, even if the Brahma Vidya is given, taught, Ukte api, then what happens? No, the right understanding of the teaching does not happen, then what happens? The possibility of either there is non-understanding, non-apprehension or misapprehension. So for the even if Brahma Vidya is taught to an unqualified, unrefined minded, you know, the impure-minded person, unqualified person, then there happens only what? There doesn't happen the knowledge, but there happens either non-understanding or misunderstanding. So, he says, so, apratipattihi means non-apprehension, incomprehension or non-understanding. Viparita pratipattihi means misunderstanding. Got two words there? Viparita pratipattihi means what? Misunderstanding. These two happen, isn't it? So non-understanding at least will not cause any problem. Viparita pratipattihi will cause a lot of problems, isn't it? And here he gives the example, Shankara in Bhashyam, how yatha indra virochana prabhritinam. Shankara quotes the example here. Indraha, no, there is a mention of this in the Chandogya Upanishad. So there the Indra is the Deva Guru, the teacher of gurus, the celestials, and sorry, the lord of celestials, and Virochanaha, king of asuras, the demons. So king of devas was the Indra, and king of asuras was Virochana, and they both had the lesson. They both had the teaching, and both were Amrudita Kalmashas. Both were not qualified for knowledge, mentally not prepared for the knowledge. But still they were taught Brahma Vidya. Then what happened? Indra did not understand anything. Okay, Indra had apratipattihi. But Virochana, the king of asuras, did not have non-understanding. He understood everything wrongly. Okay, he had a misunderstanding. So because Indra did not have understanding, he had the understanding that he had not understood. So he could come back to the teacher again. At least now, when you do not understand the teaching, you will definitely have the understanding that you have not understood the teaching. It's a big blessing, isn't it? So you can go back to the teacher again. The possibility of getting the, is it right understanding? But possible having the understanding at least once. As long as the student does not understand, he can understand that he has not understood. So that there's a possibility of the student approaching the teacher again and again until the understanding happens. But if the student has a wrong understanding, a misunderstanding, then he thinks he has understood, he will not go back to the teacher. Then he will remain with the misunderstanding, wrong understanding. Not only that, he'll spread also what? The wrong teaching. So that's what Virochana thought. Virochana thought body is the Atma. He had the misunderstanding and he went back with the wrong understanding and he created all the battalion of asuras who thought body was the Atma. Understand? So it resulted in big death, isn't it? What sort of, what happens? What is better? Non-understanding is better than misapprehension. And then Indra went back to the teacher again and the teacher told him, okay, you have heard me, you have not understood anything till now. So what you do, you need to become qualified for knowledge. Nothing wrong. You have heard, you have been listening and there is no apprehension, there is no understanding of any teaching, which means you have to become some pratibandha, isn't it? Drishta pratibandha you have. So what should you do? Drishta pratibandha and adrishta pratibandha you have. So he already has spent 32 years he served. Now he said, you can go for 32 more, you can go for serving in the Gurukulam for 32 more years. Then again he went back. Again he told him to, just do some more karma for some more time. Be here and do some more karma. Like that, four times Indra went. Which means, and the fourth time he had the right teaching. He was able to go back again and again because he knew he had not understood. But Virochana never went back. Why? Because he had misunderstanding and he thought he had understood. He didn't get to go back. Okay, therefore, what he wants to say is, how Amrudita Kalmashaha. God knows, Amrudita, see, Mrudita Kalmashaha. I mean the one whose impurities have been cleared, one who has become pure minded, thereby refined minded. Whereas Amrudita Kalmashaha is the one who has yet to become, has not yet become pure minded or qualified adequately. So Amrudita Kalmashasya Ukte Api, even if the teaching is given, apratipattihi va, viparita pratipattihi va, Sya bhave. So it can happen. Yatha Indra Virochana Prabhrutinam. And there's one more word, Prabhruti means etc., isn't it? Such as there happened the non-apprehension for Indra and the misapprehension for Virochana and so on, isn't it? So the etc., Prabhruti means etc. Etc. means the sub-commentators, the people who comment upon Shankara's commentary, they say the Prabhrutinam implies one more example of Bhrigu. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Bhrigu goes again and again. Varunam pitaram upasasara adihi bhagavo brahmeti. Remember? Satapo tapyata satapastaptva. He goes, Bhrigu goes again and again. At last, fifth time, he doesn't go back. Isn't it? He approached. Like how the understanding did not happen at all. Bhrigu did not understand first time, no second time, third time, fourth time. How many times should I listen to Shastram? How many years should I be listening to same Gita from chapter 1? Swamiji always says, Swamiji, you finished the 18th chapter, will you please come for valedictory function? Swamiji said, no valedictory there, go back to the first chapter. they think they have concluded it and they want to know. We start again from the introduction. How many times, Swamiji, when you finish 18th chapter, what should you do? Start from 2nd chapter again. This is the answer. When you finish 8th chapter, what should we do next, Swamiji? No, next, go back to the 2nd. Which means, how many times? First time I understood Gita, second time I read Gita, third time I understood Gita, fourth time I studied Gita, fifth time, sixth time, 100 times, 1,000 times. Don't worry. How long? When Drishta Pratibandha resolves, Adrishta Pratibandha resolves, then you have the confidence and the boldness that for you, no? See, without any inhibition, any hesitation, if you can say, I myself am Brahma, everything else other than me is Mithya. If that vision is very clear, isn't it? Then, 100 times you can stop Gita reading. That is why, how many times should I do Shravanam? I heard all the Upanishads once, all the Gita once. Are you free? Now you, I have understood everything very clearly. I have understood Vedanta very clearly. You know, Swamiji will say, those who are, how many of you can say, Aham Brahmasmi? Come and sit here. You know, how many of you have clearly understood, they can sit there. Yeah? If you have the guts to come and sit here, which means what? That's why there's no test here, no exam here, isn't it? When you take ownership of your clarity of vision, of the self being Brahman, you know, then you see the mithyatma of everything very clearly, then this unafflictedness, then the Shravanam has done its purpose. That is why, again, Pitaram Upasasara Adihi Bhagavo Brahmeti. Now, again he has comes Bhargavi. He has to come again and again and again. Is it? Therefore, is this repeated? How should you do? Study the Shravanam. Along with this Shravanam, follow these disciplines, live a life of Karma Yoga. Living a life of Karma Yoga, following disciplines, simultaneously do Shravanam also. Keep on doing. And when the both these Pratibandhas resolve, when you have that confidence to claim, you know, and take ownership of your Swarupam being Brahman, then that's called what? Jnana Utpattihi. That's why people always say, we understand everything in the class, but still, you know, which means there's no still. Understanding is there means what? Which means at least you are in the class. That's the only thing you can say. A nice thing, isn't it, to know already? Therefore, tasmat, say no? Iha va, atiteshu va, bahushu, janmantareshu, tapa adibihi, krita, Sattva-shuddehe Jnanam Samutpadyate Yathashrutam. Therefore, yes, tasmat, therefore, iha va. Iha va means what now? Either in this life. In this life itself, one must have worked for sattva shuddhihi, mental purity, mental refinement, you know, the mental condition required for the emergence of knowledge. Mental condition required for the rising of knowledge. Therefore, atiteshuva bahushu, either in this life or atiteshuva bahushu janmantareshu, in many other previous janmas, previous lives which have gone before this life. This is not the first life, this is not the only life, isn't it? Either one must have worked very hard in this very life, one must have become mentally refined by following all these disciplines, living a prayerful, worshipful, righteous, the moral, ethical life, by living clean life, one must have become mentally refined in this life, or must have even in many lives which have gone before, bahushu atiteshu, bahushu janmantareshu, one must have worked hard, isn't it, to become qualified for having this knowledge emerge in one's mind, for this knowledge to rise in one's mind. That is why we can understand any genius in any discipline, it's not that the genius is not overnight accomplishment, not one janma's accomplishment, isn't it? Any prodigy or in any field, the spiritual prodigy or any prodigies we see, how come they are able to be prodigies? Because all those, that for them, for that young age we see some, oh my God, or young age we see them great, means they have done all the tapas they need to do in their previous lives, accomplished. Therefore, it's easy for them to accomplish that much younger age. You got it? This is the secret. Anybody accomplish something at a very young age means not that that other person has got some special thing. That person has earned from the status from previous life's hard work. That's why as iha va atiteshu va bahushu janmantareshu tapa adibhi, all these disciplines such as tapas, tapaha, damaha, karma, vedangani, with all these disciplines, with the help of all these disciplines, we're following these disciplines strictly, either in this life or in previous many lives which we have gone before, adibhi, krita sattva shuddhihi. Krita sattva shuddhihi means the one who has got his mind purified. Krita sattva shuddhihi means pure minded. The one who has become pure minded, which means there's no born pure minded person. So every born pure minded also must have worked for his mental purity in his previous lives. Or after being born in this life, one must have worked for becoming pure minded. So for that mental purification, he must have followed this discipline such as tapas, etc. So without following tapas, the disciplines in terms of tapaha, karma, dapaha, damaha, shamaha, etc., it is impossible for one to become mentally qualified, mentally pure. Is it clear now? That is why we say, without living a life of karma yoga, jnanam is, qualification is impossible. Without the qualification, jnanam is impossible. Understand? But karma yoga without jnanam, even if you are qualified for jnanam, without the jnanam, it will be incomplete. Is it clear? That's why we said that always, we say our karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. So what he says here, krita sattva shuddhehe jnanam samutpadyate. Krita sattva shuddhihi is an adjective. Okay? Krita Sattva Shuddhi means the pure-minded, the purified-minded, prepared-minded, the qualified personality, isn't it? For the pure-minded, for the one who has become pure-minded, before by these disciplines such as tapas, etc., either in this life or in the previous lives which have gone before, only for him, you know, he says, jnanam samutpadyate, knowledge takes place, knowledge rises, yathashrutam. Knowledge rises means what? Vision dawns. Jnanam utpadyate means vision dawns in keeping with the vision of the teacher, unfolded in his words of the Shastram. In keeping with the unfoldment of subject matter of the Shastram, as it is revealed, yathashrutam, as it is unfolded in the Shastram, as it is revealed in the Shastram, as it unfolded by the teacher, the vision dawns in the mind of the one who has become pure-minded by following these disciplines or by living a life of Karma Yoga, living a life of Panchamaha Yajnas, tapas. In this context, Shankara quotes two lines. Look at this. This is from the 23rd mantra of the 6th chapter of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Shankara quotes in his commentary. What does he say? Yasya deve, say no?
Yasya
parabhaktihi. Yatha deve. Tatha gurau. Tasya yete kathita hyattaha prakashante mahatmanaha iti mantravarnat. See, Shankara quotes this mantra. What does he say? This, as per this mantra states, yasya deve parabhaktihi. Parabhaktihi means the one who has intense, deep devotion towards the Lord and who has equally intense, no, or devotion towards the teacher, the guru, which means the devotion to the Lord without the devotion to the teacher, which means without the devotion to the Shastra. See, devotion towards the teacher implies commitment to the pursuit of knowledge in terms of Shastra study. Isn't it? Therefore, without the devotion towards the guru who implies what? Without the commitment to study of the Shastra, then it makes a person religious person. Isn't it? So, but without devotion towards the Lord, commitment towards the Shastram implies what? Then also it is not possible. So here, the one who has the intense devotion towards the Lord, and also the same intense deep devotion towards the Guru for studying the Shastram, yeah, tasya yete arthaha, for him even the meanings which are not explicitly revealed in the Upanishad, or even the ununderstood, you know, words, all these, the meanings, all these, you know, meanings revealed in the Upanishad, revealed in the Shastram, become, no, shine clearly for him, become revealed to him, revealed to those people thereby they become Mahatmas. Even ordinary people, ordinary students, they become Mahatmas when they have the vision. How do they have the vision? When the words of the Upanishads become, the meanings of the words of Upanishads become revealed to them. When do they become revealed to them, become evident to them? No, only when their devotion to the teacher, you know, is as intense as the devotion to the Lord. Which means the teaching, not to the teacher, hear the teaching. Isn't it? So it's a commitment to the pursuit of knowledge and Shraddha in Shastram, which, you know, will contribute for the clarity of vision. Is it? Because that's why when you do Shravanam, the Shravanam, Shravanam alone is enough. Shravanam alone will bless one with Aparoksha Jnanam. Nididhyasanam will not give you Aparoksha Jnanam. Understand? Shravanam will give you Aparoksha Jnanam. Shravanam, once I have done, second time I have done, third time I have done, fourth time I have done. Why you called fourth time Shravanam alone, not Nidhyasanam or Mananam? Why is not Mananam? Why only Shravanam? Because Drishta Pratibandaha, seen obstacle, known obstacle. Or, no, still, you know, I have done Mananam also, everything is clear. Adrishta Pratibandaha, keep listening. But also, what along with that, to neutralize this Pratibandha, what should you do? No, living a life of Karma Yoga, life of Panchamaha Yajnas, simultaneously keep doing Shravanam, then Shravanam will bless you with Aparoksha Jnanam. Is it clear? I think it's nice, no? There's one thing he quotes. And in support of the Shruti, he also quotes one Smriti. Smriti means what? Not from the Veda, but one more sentence, one more quotation from Mahabharatam. This Mahabharata, it's also from, I think it's a Shanti Parva. It's from the Shanti Parva. Jnanam utpadyate, say no? Pumsam kshayat. Papasya karmanaha iti smritescha. Okay, I can stop here. Actually, more beautiful things are coming up. I want to finish the whole text today. Anyway, next class I'll definitely finish it. See, karmanaha papasya kshayat. Karmanaha na papasya karmanaha kshayate jnanam utpadyate pumsam. The vision of the truth dawns in the mind of people, those whose papam, papam has got nullified. Papakshaya has to happen. How does the papam get nullified? How does papam get eliminated? No? You can understand when Pratibandha goes, removal of Pratibandha, elimination of obstacle, which deprives you of the vision, is what? Removal of the papa. See, our papam alone is in the form of our obstruction. Obstruction in the form of, Drishta Pratibandha. The seen obstacle, known obstacle or unknown obstacle, isn't it? The obstacle for which the cause is known to you. The obstacle for which the cause is unknown to you, isn't it? If you say, I know I attend the class, I know I want to listen, I know I want to focus, but my God, my mind is not able to, I'm not able to grasp. My mind is, I try to concentrate, but my mind goes off. Which means you know your own Pratibandha, isn't it? So the Pratibandha, what is the problem for you? What is the obstacle here? Because you're not able to concentrate. The cause is, you know the cause. You're intelligent enough to understand, but you're not able to concentrate. Because you are distracted. So the cause for your non-rising of the knowledge, for not having the knowledge, is what? The cause is a distraction, the distractedness of your mind, isn't it? That you know. The cause is known to you. Then it's called drishta pratibandha. If the cause is unknown to you, I don't know, I'm listening, I understand very well, Vedanta is very clear to me, but still I'm not able to boldly take ownership of the vision that I'm having, aham brahmasmi, which means adrishta pratibandha, isn't it? Something is stopping you from taking ownership of the vision you have. That's called adrishta pratibandha. For these two, isn't it? No? These pratibandhas are what? Obstacles are your papam. Papapalam. Therefore, this papam has to be papa karma kshayat, means obstacle caused by your own papa karma, isn't it? The result of your papa karma has to be neutralized. How? By earning punyam. For that punyam, what should you do? More punyam has to come for this papam to get, you know, really overcome. The whole papam has to be neutralized. Thereby patibandha will go. Punya karma, punya palam should come. So that the patibandha will, obstacle will go, so it will have the vision. Therefore, the only way is for now, follow these disciplines along with the study of the Shastram. That's the lesson. Is it clear? Nice to know, isn't it? Very good to know this. That's why, suppose there is something, see, aham brahmasmi. If you understand the meaning, and then when you focus on the, when you dwell upon the meaning of the state, aham brahmasmi, then what happened? It is nididhyasanam, isn't it? But even if you are not doing nididhyasanam now, because pratibandha is there, isn't it? Pratibandha is there. Obstacle is there. You are not able to claim that aham brahmasmi. So without knowing, simply you meditate upon aham brahmasmi. It's abheda dhyanam. Aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. Simply you are meditating on the sentence aham brahmasmi. Isn't it? It's called what now? Nirguna brahma upasanam. Meditating upon, you know, nirguna brahma means what? Not nirguna brahma. The statement revealing the nature of Brahman. That in due course of time will produce punyam. Upasanam will produce punyam. Meditation will also produce what now? Punyam. That punyam will not result in mystic experience. The instead what will do? That punyam, because along with the study when you practice meditation also, it will not give you mystic experience. Instead, it will help you neutralize your pratibandha, obstacles. The more and more punyam you have, is it? The more you can tackle your obstacles. That is why do more japam. More japam along with the study. Do japam, pray, worship. No, live a disciplined life. Then live life karma yoga, live life yajnas. Why all these things? To neutralize. That's the only way you can neutralize your... Is it? Sometimes what happens, once jnanam takes place, everything will disappear. But for until jnanam takes place, there are pratibandhas. Isn't it? Got it? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.